You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
All right, welcome to Side B of this week's Clock Radio Speakers. On Side A, which you can find at clockradiospeakers.com, we apparently spent like 45 or so minutes talking about Jay-Z and Flex, and Armand is very unhappy about that.
Extremely. Like, I really thought we were going to be like 20 minutes.
I thought it was going to be like 10.
50 minutes is going to be the whole show.
I thought we were going to spend 10 minutes on Flex, make fun of him a little bit, and instead we talked about some things. We argued about the Tunnel album, which I completely forgot about until this week.
There's always things that don't get spoken about that like make up our conversations.
Right.
It's always the perspective that nobody really takes. But I don't know. I haven't been on social media, so maybe somebody actually said that and we're just echoing what everybody else is saying. Who knows? I don't know.
So let's talk about some other things. Before we get into music, the Oscar nominees came out.
Yeah.
Oscar nominations. And we don't have to go too much into that. We're not going to like go, you know, award by award or whatever. But a couple things stood out to me. The Imitation Game is getting a lot of love. And I'm a little confused because I saw it and I thought it was cool. But I didn't think it was amazing. Grand Budapest Hotel is also getting a lot of love. I also saw that and I'm like, so I'm a little concerned. Longtime listeners know that my wife and I, every year, we do a Best Picture Showcase marathon over the course of two Saturdays. So this year it'll be four movies on one Saturday, four movies on the next. We've only seen two of them so far, which is, like I said before, Imitation Game and Grand Budapest Hotel. If those are really some of the better movies of this year, it's going to be a long 2 days. Did anything stand out to you for the Academy Award nominations?
I haven't seen any of those movies except Selma. Did Gone Girl get nominated?
It did not get nominated for Best Picture. The girl who plays Amy in Gone Girl got nominated. I thought she was excellent in Gone Girl.
Look. I always say the best people like actually make you either hate their character or somehow make you like, you know, survey your own life. The last person to do that. I don't watch a whole bunch of movies like you do. I would like to do that Oscar thing. The last one that made me do that was Jennifer Lawrence in American Hustle. Mm. Like just her, ugh. But that's good. That's what you want to do as an actor or an actress. So
right.
Good thing.
I'm surprised. I mean, I saw Gone Girl, so like I don't necessarily need to see it again, although I would like to see it again. But I'm a little surprised. I was kind of hoping that might have snuck in for Best Picture just because the movie was not perfect. But man, you talk about a movie that makes you like especially if that's like a date movie, you are having some conversations on the ride home.
Yeah, I totally. But I made the mistake. You have to take a woman to see that movie that you have already established relationship with. If you have just met a girl, if you like a girl, and especially if your last relationship didn't end so well, probably not the smartest movie to go take her to see.
Also, make sure your relationship's in a good place. Like, that's not the kind of
great place like, where you guys can laugh and make jokes about it.
Right. Because you want to be able to be like on the car ride home, like, huh? Like, you kind of want to have that like joke sort of thing going on. You,
cause you're going to ask like,
right.
Did you ever kill me? Could you do that? You're going to ask. And if she's in a good mood, she'll tell you.
Right. That is,
she says that she wouldn't, she's lying.
Right. If like, you know, if you had a little bit of a fight and you're trying to make it up to her, do something nice. And you're like, you know what? Let's go on iTunes and rent Gone Girl. She's like, no,
no,
no. Let's rent something else.
No. Rent Time-O-Matic.
I don't care. Watch Lego Movie. Watch something, you know, like watch like
yeah, something. You gotta watch something light.
Right.
You gotta watch like Love Actually or like just something completely like, you gotta take the L and watch a chick flick. Gone Girl's not, you know what? Gone Girl is a crazy chick flick. Now the girls I know who love the movie and are like, yeah, he deserved, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. They all have one thing in common. They're all my friends and I love them, but mm-hmm. Yep.
So, anyway.
But that's good though. We say all that to say you want a movie to evoke that sort of real life, realistic emotion out of you. And for me, I prefer those movies to like summer blockbuster, bang, bang, shoot 'em up, like Ninja Turtle, Michael Bay stuff. Like I like for my movies to have a certain degree of realism to them. So nah, shout out to Gone Girl. But that, I think that's the only movie. And I saw Selma, and Selma was freaking nuts.
I'm really good. I'm really excited to see Selma. I'm really excited to see Birdman. I'm very interested in seeing American Right. How did there not be...
Why?
Nothing? No? Like, can the character wear lugs? Can there be some sort of, like...
Can he rub his hands just for, like, a second?
Like, a little, like, even, like, a blooper reel, like, you know, Michael Keaton rubbing the hands, got the dubs flying out, like, can, you know.
Yeah, it's gotta be something. I mean, it might be. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've heard the movie is really good, but I've also heard that it's overrated too. Like it was good, but not like Oscar worthy.
Right. Boyhood is. I hope it'll be good. I hope Boyhood will be good.
I heard that's super overrated.
Right.
I heard that's not good at all.
Interesting. We saw a movie today because we thought it might be nominated, but it ended up not being nominated, which was Inherent Vice is what we saw today.
I heard that was good though.
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
It's nonsense. It's okay. Completely nonsensical. Anybody who tells you otherwise, don't trust them. We both were sitting there in the movie. We're like, what is going on in this movie? And it's like, I don't know. It's one of those movies where, like, in a weird way, it's one of those movies where the subtext and, like, the overall themes are way more obvious than the actual story. The story kind, like... They almost want to tell the movie like more, have it be more about the underlying themes, but the actual plot is stupid. That's stupid in a way like I couldn't follow along. Like it doesn't, it's just not good. Don't see Inherent Vice, everybody. Sorry. All okay. Right. Your man, Kendrick Lamar.
I am Kendrick.
Shows up in Biltwell. Is a cover story in Billboard, right?
Yep.
Got a little bit of attention. A
little bit.
For reasons that I wouldn't have expected. And it has nothing to do with his music, really, does it?
Nah, not at all.
So why did Kendrick get a little bit of attention?
I don't know. I don't remember. So was it the Iggy Azalea comment, right?
That was part of it.
So it was him saying like Iggy has a place in hip hop, right? Isn't that what he said?
I think that's like, fair to say, yeah.
Sort of like leave her alone, like, you know, let her do a thing or whatever.
Right.
And then it was mainly about Ferguson, right?
Well, there was Ferguson, and then there was his belief that we're in the end times.
Oh, did he say that?
He did.
Oh.
Which people were like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
I didn't hear it. I didn't hear any backlash from him saying that we were in end times.
Maybe that's just me reading that and going,
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, Kendrick Lamar, I don't even know how I feel about that.
Lamar Stradamus.
No.
It happens.
Yeah, that surprised me a little bit. So
people have long said that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but
right. Well, I guess for me, what it is, it's really just more indicative of again, like you listen to Good Kid, Mad City, where I mean, it's the story of him being saved.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be curious to see how much of his belief system we get on this next album.
That would be really interesting to see if he approached it from an apocalyptic standpoint.
Right. And not like in a Busta Rhymes, there's only 5 years left. There's only 5 years left.
No, the worst part was not only that, like he had like the little demon voice, like reading all the stuff or whatever. It was like you're really trying to like you're really trying to scare me.
You know what though? The there's only 5 years left. Ad libs on. Everything Remains Raw. Those are classic.
Yo. Can you find... Is that a sample? Because if so, I need you to do work.
Here's the problem. It's Easy Mo B. He's notorious for not talking about that sort of stuff. I don't believe... I can check, but I don't believe that sample is out there.
Hold on.
We can check right now?
Yeah, I'm about to check right now. Because he may not have put it out.
Right.
But it may still be out there.
It could be.
Shut your mouth. Don't you complain. No, it doesn't. Wow. They only have what it was sampled in, but not what the sample was. Wow. Can you just filter? Okay. How about you do this? How about filter out Easy Mo B's drums and put in some like DJ Mustard Jallo beats?
Holla at me.
Drums. Yeah. And then, you know, you just got like after the 8-bar, only use snares. I'm serious. Let's do it.
See, you can't say that because like, every time, like, now I'm just going to be sitting here doing Jalo Beats drum pad, hovering over the drum pads on my keyboard, because that's what happens. Like, I ride around and I hear, like, I just sit there and I just bang out imaginary drum patterns all day long.
Why, you getting your hair cut?
Sadly, no. I cut my, you know, I'm cheap. I cut my own hair, man. I mean, I have no hair, so like, why pay? But, you know,
I really wish I could find that Swiss Beats video
of what?
Of him making the beats on Instagram. But he, like, Swiss posts like 12 times a day, and that was like a year ago. I'm not going into the abyss of Swiss Beats Instagram to find a 15-second video.
You said Kendrick was talking about Ferguson, and that's what people were really paying attention to. So what did Kendrick say?
I didn't see any sort of backlash for the end time stuff, but I did see backlash for him basically. If I remember right, he said something along the lines of, like, we don't, like, black people don't respect themselves, so why do we expect somebody else to? And people were upset that he said that in a mainstream publication, i.e. white publication. So it was almost like, why are you airing? It kind of came off like, why are you airing out dirty laundry in front of company? That's what it came off. I might have seen, like, you know, people thought it was incorrect and stuff like that, or that it wasn't the right time to say it. Which I can understand somebody's stance with that, but for the most part, I just saw, like, airing out dirty laundry. Like, why are you showing this, or why are you telling other people this? Why are you telling the neighbors our business?
To me, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, before the most recent Bill Cosby kerfuffle. What Bill Cosby was really known for, since the Cosby Show, frankly, has been his very unapologetically, I'll say, aggressive stance on how the, I guess, and I'm paraphrasing him, but please correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, he essentially believes that the black community needs to fix itself.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't like that he was saying that.
They didn't like that at all.
It struck me a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Not quite as severe, because with Bill Cosby, it kind of reminded you, like, part of it was his delivery. Part of it is his age, which sounds ageist, but just to say, like, he kind of came off sounding like an old coot.
Yeah, get out of my face, old man.
Right, get off my yard, youngins. Pull your pants up, son.
Yeah, yep.
But to hear something like that from Kendrick is, I mean, it wasn't quite the same thing, right? I mean, I'm looking at the exact quote right now, which says, "I wish somebody would look in our neighborhood knowing it's already a situation mentally where it's effed up. What happened to Michael Brown should have never happened, never. But when we don't have respect for ourselves, how do we expect them to respect us? How do we expect them to respect us? It starts from within. Don't start with just a rally. Don't start from looting. It starts from within." That's interesting. It's not, I don't want to say it's not fair. It is somewhat simplistic, right? It ignores, it's a couple things. So in an ideal world, sure, maybe that's true. It smacks a little bit of that pull yourselves up by the bootstraps BS that we hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's both true and it's not true, because what it forgets is that history has shown time and again that if you put any kind of people, right, if you put people in certain situations and you set, as a society and as a culture, expectations for what those people are and what their worth is and how they act and what they should be, and when your media builds up around that and paints certain narratives, there's always going to be a percentage of that slice of the population that will simply go, well, fine, that's what you're getting. And that's not quite what he's saying, but there's some of that, right? And part of it also is that, so that's part of it. And the other part from my perspective is also that to say that, like, you know, you have to have respect for yourselves. Well, part of that too is you need to live in a society that doesn't consistently, you know, place an entire section, an entire portion of, you know, of people consistently behind the starting line, right? You want to use a metaphor like, you know, there's a lot of sports metaphors, right? Where it's like, you know, if someone is rich, people will say, oh, that person is like they were born on third base already, right? Or the old phrase is they were like really old school, like they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, right? And that's to imply that people who are really well off, you know, their kids start life with an incredible advantage, right? And to say that, okay, great. And then, so you might say then that the average white person in American society, then maybe they start life at first base, right? Well, then what you would say is that the way that American culture has treated the African-American community, they are basically starting, if we're going to use baseball again, it's the bottom of the ninth. They don't have any runs and there's already two strikes against them. So they better hit this one as a home run. Otherwise, they lose it.
I think you can have all the odds stacked against you and still have respect for yourself.
Agreed. I totally agree with that. I do.
So I agree with what you're saying, that, you know what I'm saying? But it's like I can, the things that I can teach my children about self-respect and honor and things like that, I don't need to put a dollar value on them. I need to show, I could show them through my dollar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So instead of buying clothes, like buy land, buy things that appreciate and then teach them about stuff like that. But just self respect and respect of other people and all that stuff, like, you know, pride in your race, pride in your history, respect for other races, respect for other cultures, all that other stuff. Like, I can teach all that. I can, even with the deficiency that blacks have experienced and have experienced and will experience, obviously, for the foreseeable future. Like, I get what Kendrick was saying. I get what Kendrick was saying. As a young black man, I get what Kendrick was saying. I think that, I heard it. I saw it in my head. I think, I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
I think in a lot of instances, not black people, I don't want to make this a generalization, but I see very often where some like to play the victim, where they take what we've been through and use that as an excuse to blame other people. Where after a while, it's like you date the girl. This might not be the best example, but it's like you date the girl, or it's the girl. This could be your friend, you know, your cousin, your sister, or whatever. And she may have, you know, consistently gotten her heart broke all through high school. So every guy that approaches her in the future, she's always, well, I've been hurt before. And before you know it, she's like perpetuating what it is that she's saying based off of everything that she's experienced back then, that not necessarily say doesn't apply now, but she has an opportunity to at least be better than what she was or be in a better situation. So, like, I get what Kendrick was saying. And I get how, and I totally get and understand and agree that us as African Americans, like, we get the short end of the stick. It's not fair. It's not cool. And something needs to be done about it. Absolutely. I will be in the mix, if not at the forefront of that. That is one of my goals and personal aspirations. But on the flip side of that, like, I
understand what you're saying. The only thing I'm saying is that, like, forget that we're talking about African Americans right now. In general, if you have any group of people who are treated differently by their society and they aren't treated with the respect by the rest of the society that they deserve, there is simply a certain, like, the numbers are just that there's a certain percentage of those people who are just going to play the role that they're that they think that society wants them to play. That happens in all aspects of life. And it's basically saying, I don't know, to me it's very similar to the pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's like, that works for some people, but it doesn't work for everybody. So yeah, for people who can respect themselves, obviously, please do so. But you know what? Maybe we shouldn't make it so hard.
Right. I agree with that too.
Okay.
I agree with that too. We you and I have talked about this at length. It's not a one statement. Like, this can't be wrapped up in one statement. This can't be wrapped up in one conversation. This may not even be wrapped up in this generation. This may be something that our grandkids might see the end of, just because it's so deep. But Doc and I did several episodes on Ferguson, on Mike Brown, on everybody and everything that happened in 2014. You can check those out at clockradiospeakers.com if you haven't already. I believe they're also at 4th District. So, yeah.
Switching gears.
Let's switch gears.
Let's talk about Raish Murd.
I really need to find out how you pronounce that.
I'm just gonna say
Raish Murd. Raish Murd.
Let's all be thankful that when you start typing in Spotify, R-A-E, Raekwon is still the first thing that comes up. I'm good with that. So these are two guys. They are older than they sound.
How old are they?
They're like 20, because they sound like they're 16.
Yes, I thought they were 16.
Nope.
Okay.
I know, right?
All right. It's funny because while I'm doing this, I'm reading this article on a website that you and I sort of grew up on, and the thread is, I thought Dragon was going to blow up. And no, it's real. And like, I was listening to Spotify radio, and I think it was like a lock song that I just played the radio. I think it was like Recognize or something, just randomly came on. I was like, I want to hear songs that sound like this. And like the third song that came on was, it was Die For Me. Do you remember that beat?
No.
Okay, hold on. Before we go into race, I'm just going to play this from my headphones or from my phone. I just want you to hear the first 5 seconds of this beat.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
Okay.
It's just classic Biz Sweets.
Okay.
Of course my phone is going to be slow. Of course Spotify is going to be slow. Of course it is.
Thought you had that new nice phone.
I do. Leave me alone. Okay, here we go. It was Spotify acting up. Here, okay. And it's the number one popular song on Dragon's page. That's crazy. And Spit These Bars was number two. All right, hold on.
Let's go.
That's all I needed. I almost crashed. Yeah. It's the Middle Eastern saxophone. It's the Snake Charmer saxophone mixed with whatever Swiss was doing. He actually layered that. There's more than one. There's like three. There's three tracks of that. Like, you know what this needs? An ad lib. Like, this needs to be doubled. Amazing. Amazing. Anyway, let's go back to Ray Schremmerd.
Ray Schremmerd.
Is that it, Schremmerd?
I think so. Because I think they pronounce it as like Shrem Life. Is the name of the album.
Yep, it's Shrem Life.
So Schremmerd, I'm going to go with. It's an awful name.
It's not the best name. It's drummer's ear backwards, right?
Well, it's ear drummers backwards,
ear
right?
Ear drummers, I'm sorry. Okay, duh, stupid.
Yeah. It's ear drummers because it's Mike Will's label, ear drummers. So, single was No Flex Zone.
Yeah.
Which kind of blew up.
Not kind of. That was one of the biggest records. That was one of the biggest hip-hop records of 2014.
And then No Type came out.
And do you think No Type was bigger than No Flex Zone?
I do.
Mm.
I could check that, though.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
No Type.
No Type was huge. No Type was huge. But No Flex Zone, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. They might be on par.
No. I mean, in terms of like chart, like Billboard, No Type was bigger.
Okay.
I mean, No Type got into the... It was number 16 on the pop charts.
Wow.
Yeah.
How high did No Flex Zone get?
Like 30-something.
Wow.
But still, that's pretty good.
Oh, absolutely.
So right. So for these two, you know, now granted, I mean, they've got Mike Will beats.
Hold on.
Okay.
You and I have been very, not critical, but you and I have kind of stated a trend with Mike Will beats,
right.
You know, since maybe 2013.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You and I were big Mike Will Made It fans. 2012 was when he popped, right?
Right.
Okay, so 2012, he had a dope year in 2012. Then it was like 2013 was kind of... Was that the Miley Cyrus, Cyrus era?
Right.
In a club? I mean, like, was that 2013?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that was a bad year for Mike Will. That wasn't the best year. So saying Mike Will, like, I don't know. I think people are still going to him for hits, but like,
right.
2014 was obviously producer wise was mustard year. So I say that to say getting a Mike Will beat isn't necessarily an automatic home run like it would have been 2 years ago.
Agreed.
But
he's got some beats here.
He's got some beats here on this. Are we just going into the album or are we still talking about
singles? So those are the two singles. And then just before the album came out in December, they put out Throw Some More. And Up Like Trump.
Up Like Trump.
Up. By the way, if I had to pick, there are three records on here. I'm surprised they could have gone with any three of them.
Man, there's a couple. We're not doing track by track, right?
Well, we could talk about the good ones. So basically, yeah. Like, you know what? We could do track by track if only to say, like, Lit Like Bic, I don't like.
Lit. Actually, people like Lit.
I know
Lit
they
like.
Do. Unlock the Swamp was.
Oh, you're bugging. That's the best song on the album.
It's not even close. I skip it every time.
That hook is murder.
No, listen. We can.
I'm going to randomly walk into places and just say unlock. And I bet money somebody's going to say, no, not unlock. Unlock. And somebody's going to say the swag. I promise you. That hook is murder.
Cool. Good. Cool story. Like, good for them. Like, I don't care. My ex is the record.
No.
That beat is phenomenal.
Ooh. Up Like Trump is the next single.
And it shouldn't be. It's stupid. They're missing. Nah,
like, people like that record too.
I hear you. But there's an obvious hit here. This could be us. It's an obvious hit.
Oh.
For starters, Terrius should be mad because they're totally ripping off his core progressions on those pianos.
Speaking of Terrius.
We'll talk about him in the near future, right?
All I want to say is that I read that he's putting out an EP March 31st.
Okay.
And it's all him and Tricky. All
right. So I'm excited for that like 4 years ago. I don't know what I'm getting now.
No.
I'm be honest.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Is it an album or an EP?
It's a free EP. All
right. Oh. This is going to sound so snobby. If I don't get Transitions, I'm going to be mad.
I'm hoping if they are going to promote it as The Dream and Tricky Stewart, they have to do that.
And you know what? If it's a free EP, it might as well just be one like 5-song sequence.
Just want it to be one song that's like 20 minutes?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's funny.
I saw that. You don't like my ex?
I don't. You know what? Honestly, I don't know if there's anything on this album that I'm just like, this is terrible. This is not for me.
My ex.
But a lot of these songs are really, they're fun.
My ex. Yeah, I like My Ex. This could be us. I think that, like, the whole concept of doing a song based on the meme, first of all, genius. But secondly, just like.
A lot of people on the internet are like, they just give money away with their creativity. It's just like, and especially Fabulous, they're just like creeping and they're like, yep. Taking that.
Oh, I could totally hear Fabulous on a remix of This Could Be Us.
Oh, totally. Just with meme punchlines and wordplay, referencing Kermit, referencing Pacquiao, like every meme, Cinnamon. Oh, well, he already did Cinnamon Apple. But you know, that's the single.
Is it really?
Yeah. I heard that on a couple mix shows.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I think This Could Be Us should be a single. I don't know what they're waiting on. But maybe, you know what? Maybe that's one of those things where if people want to hear, like sort of let the records that people want to hear, let those, like, sort of play in the radio or whatever, and then they can come back with This Could Be Us whenever. Because I think that'll cross over a little bit.
I honestly think this album has enough records to take them through this year.
It's got a lot of potential hits, man.
Yes, it does.
I like Come Getter.
I don't think there's anything on this album that I'm like...
I don't really love... the record with Big Sean.
Yeah. The Nicki record grew on me within the context of this album.
It does. It works in the context of this album. And actually, Up Like Trump grew on me too.
I wish she would have got a verse.
You don't like Young Thugger?
No, it's not even Thug. I just wish she would have got the second verse. Mm. Or she would have cleaned up. If they go back and forth on the first verse,
right?
Young Thug goes second and Nicki goes last, that's a much better record.
I guess.
I think that works. Just having her on the hook, I think, is a waste.
The Big Sean record's okay. It's a little slow.
I'm not big on the Big Sean record. You're right. Get in my ex, Unlike the Swag, Lit Like Big.
There's like a for me, like, well, you like Unlike the Swag, but for me, there's just this whole run of songs here. I was pretty surprised.
I was very surprised.
This is let me be clear. Like, this is what I would consider pop rap, right?
Sure.
Really good pop rap record.
That's not a diss. Like, no, you know,
this
if what you talked about on the A side of this regarding Jay-Z holds weight and is true, then you saying it's a pop rap album is not a diss.
No, it's not. Like, that. It's just that's the lane they're in and they're doing it well. Like, people want to know what Michael's been doing. This is what Michael's been doing,
which is very interesting. So, as a producer, what do you do after, you know, because we saw Lex Luger. Who else has had a good producer run the last few years? Like new Mustard. Producers. Yeah, Mustard. They will give their, or they will work with more established artists to make themselves a household name. And then the next step, which I wish Lex or Jalo Beats also, what I wish they do. Well, obviously the next step, I'm not going to say I wish they did it, because that's not to say that they didn't. But obviously the next step, which is what Musta did and which is what Mike Will did, is either find an artist or work with a new artist. Musta did that with YG and they had a great year. And Mike Will's doing that with Ray Shimmer, and it looks like they're going to have a good year. They have the potential to have a great year with this album.
Right. I mean, considering their name is the name of his label backwards, I'm going to just go ahead and assume he's going to make a lot of money off this.
Yeah.
Like, this is sort of what you, this is, it's like you said, this is sort of what you, this is the goal as a producer.
Produce music. Look at that.
Well, you know, but this is my sort of, this is my sound. Yeah. This is my act. He doesn't do all the beats on here. Young Chop does My Ex. Sunny Digital helps out on Up Like Trump. And I don't know if it's Sunny Digital or Mike Will who did it, but the lead, I don't call it the lead. I mean, basically like the main synth on the hook, you know, the main synth on Up Like Trump, like just gets in my head. It's catchy. I like it. But just in general, like I'm completely surprised by this album.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. We are finally going to talk about what I thought we would spend most of the episode talking about.
I'm just going to let you know right now, I can't spend most of this episode talking about this album.
We need to talk about your man Lupe.
Lupe Fast Go. Now, a month ago, I said on this show that we did Lupe very dirty. And by we, I don't mean Clock Radio speakers per se. I just mean like the general public did Lupe very dirty.
Why do you say that?
I think Lupe was ahead of the curve. But his content, with what he wanted to do, with the branching out, the things that he was saying, we were calling him crazy. Again, it was the presentation of it that kind of turned a lot of people off. And it was the culture and the climate. And when Ferguson happened and when Eric Garner happened, I listened to two artists consistently. I listened to Lupe Fiasco and I listened to Jay Electronica. That's all I listened to. And I'm listening to records that are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and they are talking about things that are going on right now. And it bothers me. I really think that the Hip Hop is Dead era really created a lot of fans of hip hop to just complain about the music, when hip hop has been in a great space for the last 3, 4 years, if not longer. Maybe 2009 or 8 was probably like when the upswing started to happen. I don't think there's stuff to complain about, but it's not like it was during that period at all. So did you listen to, back to Lupe, did you listen to any of those singles that he was leaking around fall of 2014?
I did not. And actually, because I didn't realize that a lot of them weren't going to make the album. So now I need to go back and listen to them.
Me too. It's like, I hear him on
but,
the album.
But let me just say something. I can only speak for myself, but Lupe's problem is he just wasn't making good music. I mean, let's really be 100% clear. Food and Liquor 2 is an abomination.
Hold on.
We killed it on the show, and for good reason.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. When I'm speaking of Lupe, I'm speaking of the FNF mixtapes, the Food and Liquor Advance, couple of records on the Food and Liquor Retail, absolutely speaking about the Cool, Enemy of the State, Friend of the People. And Lasers 1.5. No, lyrically, Friend of the People has some joints. It was the beat selection that was a little crazy.
Right.
And Lasers 1.5. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm speaking of. Because wasn't SLR on 1.5?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm speaking of when I talk about Lupe Fiasco. I'm not talking about the retail of Lasers, and I'm not talking about Food and Liquor 2 other than like two records.
Okay. So,
yes, those were bad. And I give Lupe a pass on Lasers because I really feel like he mailed that in on purpose.
He
just
did.
To be like, yeah, I feel like he mailed that in on purpose. Like, see, this doesn't work for me. This is not the type. You want me to do this because you want to build off a superstar, which I get
from a label. And yet he had gigantic singles. We talked about this. Everybody should listen to the Lupe Fiasco episode where we talk about how I fixed Lasers as a 1.5. But the 1.5, all that really proves to show is that Atlantic was getting him hits and he was squandering them.
I just don't think those records were for him. I don't think those were. You're speaking from a producer standpoint.
I don't disagree. But
it's just like the story of all the rappers who passed up on Whoa. Black Rob ends up with it. He makes it a hit. I don't necessarily know if Fat Joe or Foxy Brown or Sean is going to make a hit like Whoa. I don't think Pusha T is going to make niggas in Paris what Jay-Z and Kanye West did with that. Right. But he passed on that beat. So right. I don't, when I hear what Lupe did on that, and even just when I hear the beat, I'm just like, nah, this isn't Lupe. Airplanes and nothing on Lupe records. Bob got him and Bob was made a star because of those two records. Those were Bob records.
No,
Can Lloyd Banks get on Nothing on You and make that into a hit?
No.
Absolutely not.
Well, that'd be interesting, actually. But
Tony Ayo, can Hot Rod get on?
Maybe not anybody, but I don't understand. Like, B.O.B.'s career is, I just don't get it.
B.O.B. is really, really interesting, but I'm not well-versed enough in Bob right. to, like, really talk
so,
about
so anyway, so back to Lupe. So you're saying that people have done him dirty.
I think that we didn't give him a fair shot. I think that if we go back and listen to some of that stuff retrospectively and seeing what he was saying, we would have been like, oh, but okay. I think the presentation and probably it's frustrating when I think you're saying something and like people are looking elsewhere and, you know, it's just what we do as artists. Like we're gauging. We think that we have something that the public needs to hear and needs to ingest and take in. And either their attention is elsewhere or they've got a new flavor of the month, or even just we're not realizing that our presentation isn't the best and we get frustrated and we get bitter. And that in turn comes out in other ways and we kind of squander, the audience that we do have, or we're trying to be so creative. We're like in our own heads too much, which, you know, we talked about, I know you definitely talked about how Lupe is almost like he's too, like, what's the word? How did you describe just his content? Like where he's just like deep to be deep rather than like.
Well, yeah. And I've got some of that. Yeah. I've got some critiques for this. Believe me. I think this is, I don't know. Sometimes listening to Lupe try to be deep is sort of like listening to a college freshman after they've attended their first political science class. I don't know. He's talking about it, but I'm just not getting the depth of knowledge. I don't know. I'm also not somebody who necessarily thinks that lyrics have to have a message. I see these things very differently.
Yes.
Which is fine.
And I love content and music. So, So we're probably going to approach this album a little bit different.
Absolutely. So there are four instrumental interludes, the different named after the four seasons.
Well, what are we talking about?
We're talking. How do you pronounce this album?
I have no idea.
I'm going to say Tetsuo and Youth.
Tetsuo
and Youth. Right. Okay. Which kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. Am I crazy?
He was talking about it for a while. And I know this is his last album with Atlantic. And I remember that being the talk. And then I remember hearing the release date of like the end of January. So I heard about it.
You know what it was for me? It was just that he did have that sort of, it felt like a never ending string yes. of like random songs that came out. I didn't quite know what was going on.
Yes.
But you're right. No, it's not like a D'Angelo like out of nowhere thing.
No.
So it's 16 tracks, but really four of them are instrumental interludes. So it's 12 tracks, essentially 12 actual songs.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to go track by track?
I can't.
You can't?
Mm-mm.
Well, then I want to talk track by track, and I'll just ask you whatever you're willing to say about each track.
Okay.
Ironically, track two, Mural, we get to start with a song that's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
It's produced by the Buchanans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, talk about a...
Yikes. About a now, what are the Buchanans famous for, Doc?
That would be What More Can I Say.
There you go. By the artist that we just spent 45 minutes talking about.
The Buchanans did a bunch of stuff. They did a bunch of unreleased tracks for Food and Liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Spaz Out, Cold Blooded... So they have a whole.
Oh, they did Cold Blooded.
On the Cool, they did The Coolest, Gold Watch, Streets on Fire.
Streets on Fire is my favorite Lupe Fiasco song.
Really?
Yes.
On Lasers, they did All Black Everything.
Okay.
So they have a history of...
Dope Lupe records.
Oh, wait a minute. All right, listen. If Wikipedia is accurate, they did... Remember the Dr. Dre record on the Dr. Pepper commercial?
The one that turned into Ish Popped Off?
Suppose, yep. According to Wikipedia.
I can see that.
Interesting.
I can see that. I can see them at least, like, you know, taking the... Honestly, I was just reading the making of the documentary Games album, mm-hmm. and apparently Dre redid Hate It to Love It. Like, he took the beat and like redid it over for Kool and Dre.
Yeah,
but they still got the credit for it. That's so right. I could see that. I could see that happening in this instance.
Right, where they did it and then he redid it. But all right. So Armand, you sent me a text this weekend. You were very unhappy with me.
Why would I do? I remember the one text, but I don't remember the other one. What I do? Oh yeah. Are we going to talk about that on the show?
Let's just say that Armand wishes I got to the sample first.
I just wish you would get to the group who sampled this first.
Right. And you know what the problem is?
It's not even this sample in particular. Like, they have they have a lot of stuff that you could use, I think.
They do. You know what the problem is? I actually like it. Like, my wife and I, we listen to this now whenever we do dishes at night. It's like our thing. We listen to Cortex.
They're dope.
Right.
But they're just dope on their own. I'm like,
you know what? It's like, this is my dishwashing music. It's so not. Now you don't want to make it.
Okay. Just redo everything and Don't Boy Ever Wanted for me, at least. When is that instrumental? If that instrumental is out, I'm rapping to it.
All right. If you just want that, I can do that.
But I don't need you. I don't need anything crazy.
I thought you were going to say, I don't need you, Doc.
I don't need anything crazy.
Right, that's my problem is I'm listening to this. I'm like, man, I need to do this. And yeah. All right. Anyway. Anyway. So Mural is 8 minutes and 48 seconds long.
Crazy. I think.
And by the way, Ross did actually, he used the Mural sample already.
Yeah, he did.
But this beat is dope.
I don't remember. I just remember the first time I heard it was when Wiz used it on Cushion Orange Juice. Right. And that's when I fell in love with it.
So the beat is dope. Lupe is Lupe on this.
Lupe is vintage Lupe.
Vintage Lupe.
I went to Rap Genius and just I didn't even get through it all because I mean, geez, but I was just picking out certain lines and reading like the theories that people had. And for me, mm-hmm. that's what I like with lyricism. Not all of my lyricism needs to be like that, but me, how I write, I as an MC want people to do that to my lyrics. When they do it to my lyrics, it's just a joy inside that I get. But like for Lupe, I do that. And I have conversations with people. And Skyzoo's another MC who does that a lot. Like his stuff is just layered and you don't get it because the references are very vague and you have to be well studied and you have to watch a certain show or know about a certain issue that's going on. I like stuff like that. Cause then it makes me want to go, what is that? Why is Lupe talking about this in this context? Let me go find an art. Let me Google it. Oh, there's a book. Let me read the book. Or, oh, it's a television show. Let me watch the show. Or, oh, this is a person. Let me watch a documentary. I love stuff like that. So I think this song also says this was his selfish moment. Mm. This was his selfish moment. And I think nowadays, artists, especially artists who have a solid fan base, which I believe Lupe has, they can do selfish things. And this was, you know what? I'm going to rap for 8.5 minutes long over a sample. I don't know when's the last time I heard Lupe rap over a sample. This reminded me of like the Food and Liquor advance. Mm. This totally could have sat in that on that CD. So I like it. I love it, actually. Do I want it to set off the album? Nah. But it
needs to be. To be split.
See, I hate when stuff... So, like, it fades out and then it fades in later. I hate stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. Nah, Joe Budden does that. He does that. He did that with Ordinary Love. He did that with Who Killed Hip Hop. And I just wait on the final version to come out and then for somebody to just blend them together. I'll just listen to the... Joe Budden has... I think Who Killed Hip Hop was 16 minutes long. And Ordinary Love-ish was, like, 12 minutes long. Like,
nobody's listening to those. That.
His fans are. That's my point.
Right.
Your average person, you know, new Lupe album, I'll check it out. This song's 8 minutes long. Skip.
There are three songs that are longer than 8.5 minutes on this album.
Hey, Kairos was 79 minutes and 56 seconds. So I mean, what can we say?
I'm saying a lot. The song is way too long, but it's unfortunate because it's like, it's funny. It's like, it's almost too much Lupe. It's like, you're right. Lupe, like if you're a self-professed rappity rap fan, like this, you could eat off this song for like the next like month. Mm-hmm. Just keep listening. Lupe's Lupe. I like the beat. As a song, I don't know how successful it is. As a rapping experience, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
The two are different. Mm-hmm. I wish it were shorter. I say that about a lot of songs on this album, actually.
Oh, okay, on this album. I thought you were just saying you just like that period. But yeah, okay.
But yeah, I mean, so far, like, if you were wondering if Lupe still had it, like, I'll say this much. He gets it out of the way very early. He's got it.
Yeah.
I think that's why he opens with it.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, if you guys think that I'm on this totally different play, because he knows. If you Billboard article.
No.
Where he talked about, like, he's like, yo, I'm irrelevant and I'm okay with that. There are other artists who are doing what I was doing when I was relevant. Mm. And I'm cool with that. There's other things that I want to do besides like just rappity rap rap. Like his goals are different.
Right.
So I'm sure he knows. Of course, all the Twitter stuff with Iggy Azalea and just, you know, he goes on these rants and he likes his Twitter, just all this stuff. Like, I'm sure he knows that. His image, his public image is skewed, it's tainted, et cetera, et cetera. So that could have people thinking, you know, I'm sure he also knows that people probably think that Food and Liquor 2 is trash. And people, I'm sure he knows that people think Lasers is trash. So he sets off the track with Vintage Lupe to be like, yo, don't get it twisted. Like, I'll still slap your favorite rapper around if I need to. And he's heavy in the battle rap. Like, I'm starting to hear, because I'm a battle rap nerd. I'm starting to hear, like, you can tell who watches URL battles because they're rapping like them. You can hear it. And Lupe obviously studies those rappers. But I ain't mad at it because I do it too. Say the same mural is dope.
Track 3, Blur My Hands featuring Guy Sebastian, produced by S1 and M Phases.
Okay. I like that combination.
It's a good beat. It's a little busy at times. The hook is okay. It's a good song. It's a little too long, but I love that filtered outro.
I like the song. I think this song is dope.
It's cool. It's dope. I think M Phases is overrated.
How?
I can't recall an M Phases beat that I was blown away by, but people describe M Phases as though he's like the second coming of 90s rapity rap. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Nah, I haven't heard that at all, actually. I don't hear that at all with M Phases. I think M Phases to me is always like, he's like one hit away. And that's not a diss, but he's always like, I always hear him in conversations like, yo, M Phases 2. But like,
he's good. I guess my problem is, you know what it is? It's like, I just can't think of a dope M Phases beat.
I can't off the top of my head, but I know they're out there. I know they're out
there. It's a cool record.
I like this song. But yeah, anyway.
Dots and Lines, produced by Lupe and DJ Simon Says.
Okay.
I'm not really sure how I feel about this beat.
Yeah, I'm not ready to talk about this song yet.
First of all, this song totally feels like mid-2000s Kanye.
The beginning just reminded me of Deliverance.
Oh, it also reminded me a little bit of, what's the song on Eminem's show? Square Dance.
Oh, man.
Square Dance. Can you believe That's a weak spot. Dots and
is
Lines.
Is the Eminem show Nas's best? Or not Nas's. Is the Eminem show M's best album?
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Okay. We did an M. Did we do an M retro?
We did.
Yeah.
It was sad.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. I know.
My bad. Okay. I'm ready. I'm back in the building.
Dots and Lines is too long. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm,
you like it, though?
I'm not ready to talk about that record. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
Falls, another instrumental interlude. Yeah. Prisoner 1 and 2 featuring Aisha Jaco. Jaco. Mm-hmm.
Jaco. I think it's got to be either his wife, his sister,
right,
or something.
Right. Like that. Produced by Mozart. Beat is... it's two separate songs.
Mm-hmm.
First song's about like 5:15-ish long. It's cool. The second half of the song... I appreciate the beat just because it's a change of pace, like in terms of how Lupe's, the first half of this album has sounded up to this point. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that it's a change of pace. Lupe's getting he's trying to be political here. I don't know if I was really impressed with it. How do you feel about this? You got anything to say?
I don't know. I'm not ready to talk about this one yet either.
Even beat wise, like good?
It's like these Lupe records, again, man, my freaking car, man. Like, oh, just murder. Like I'm listening to these on phone speakers and it's just not there.
At least listen to it on headphones, like, you know.
I did. Listened to it on headphones. And I listened to it in my house.
Oh,
but
all right.
I want to take it like
this is not a car record. It doesn't matter.
For me, it's a car record because I'm listening to the lyrics and I think a lot when I drive.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I do a lot of writing when I drive. I do a lot of clearing my. I love driving. That's one of the ways. That's one thing I do to clear my head. So like, so I need to hear a Lupe album. In the car. So this is kind of messing me up. So I need to get that right ASAP. But yeah, I mean, the beat is cool. The beats are cool. But I'm still not ready to talk about that yet.
Body of Work featuring Troy and Terrace Martin, produced by S1 and Von Beats. It's okay.
This record is cool. Yeah, this record is cool.
Sorry, I don't really like the hook. But yeah, it's okay.
Remind me to ask you a question about hooks if you don't already cover what I want to ask you.
Okay. Now, Little Death, which is the next record, also produced by S1 and Von Beats, I kind of like.
My baby Nicki Jean is on this.
Yeah, I like
this record.
I like the beat. It's a kind of a little bit of a jazzy feel with that bass line. Yeah, it's good. Like this is good.
It's a really good album record.
Yes, it's a
really
good, album record.
Yeah, so it's not one of those ones that like it stands out because it's on the album and where it is on the album, like the sequencing of this album or the sequencing of this song on the album is dope. But yeah, this record is dope.
And Lupe, you know, Lupe's good on this beat. I like it too.
Yeah.
No Scratches, also featuring Nicki Jean, produced by DJ Simon Says.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's awful. No. The beat is awful. The guitar, I was actually laughing. Listen, if you're a producer, you got to be really careful if you try to put electric guitar in the beat because you really just sound like Andre trying to do 16 ain't
listen,
enough.
Listen, no, it's not that you don't sound like Andre. It's that you're just not good enough to even try to come near what Andre did on 16.
Oh. The less we say about No Scratches, the better. I want to hear your opinion on Chopper.
I don't like Chopper. I do like Psychodrama on there. I like that.
You don't like Chopper?
I like the beat.
Yeah, that's DJ Dahi.
Yeah, I like the beat, but I'm still like that's again. I'm gonna say this. This is like the main reason why I can't talk about this album.
This is a 9.5 minute song.
No, and it's actually I'm reading like some of the theories on this album. Like all this makes sense. Yada yada blah blah blah. But the records that I really liked, I'm still in that realm where I'm just playing those records.
Okay.
So it's not where I'm listening to the whole album. I'm like, yo, this record is dope. So I'm just listening to it. I'm listening to Mural. I'm listening to Lil Def and a couple of other ones that we haven't talked about. What was the third record that we talked about? What's the third song on the album?
Oh, Blur My Hands.
Blur My Hands and a couple of songs that we haven't talked about. I'm not listening to Dr. Lines, not yet. Wasn't
is.
The one that jumped out of me immediately.
Chopper has one of the more interesting lineups I've ever seen.
Super interesting.
Trey the Truth, Trouble, Psychodrama, Family, Glasses Malone, Billy Blue, whoever that. I'm like, what is going on here?
I
appreciate the beat, not just because it's DJ Dahi, but because it is a break from, there's a little bit of a monotony that kind of sets in some of these Lupe beats.
I would agree with that.
It kind of lulls you to sleep a little bit. The sequencing on this album is kind of not good.
Well, for the context of, again, the content of the album.
Okay,
he's telling a story.
I hear you, but like the music matters.
All right, BET.
I'm saying. Deliver. The first Ty Dolla $ign appearance on the album, which is surprising because they were doing a lot of records together.
They were.
This is also produced by Mozart. How do you feel about Deliver?
Yo, right now, this is my favorite song on the album.
This beat's kind of nice.
And people don't like the hook. I love the hook.
Oh, no, I think, because that's Ty Dolla on the hook, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, I love that hook. I love what it means. I love the analogy of it. And what he's... Lupe's second verse is nasty.
So break that down a little bit.
I don't remember. remember him saying like, yo, like we, like he's saying, he's basically what we were talking about earlier. Just like, he's like, yo, we learned how to sell drugs from like, it was, I don't remember, man.
It's all good. But no, but I mean, so you like this?
I like this record a lot. I like this record a lot. So this is the record that I've played the most.
Interesting.
On this album, this and Mural, the records that I've played the most. Just because I'm, I always like, I play Mural the most because I go to go listen to the whole album for the show.
Yeah.
And then like, I get wrapped up in the songs that I like a lot. And then I just get stuck because Mural's the first song on the album.
I mean, that's good. That's a sign that you're still a fan. That's a sign that as many episodes of this show as we've done, that you're not like, you haven't turned into like the old cranky sports writer who hates sports
man,
yet.
And I've been thinking about that a lot too. Like, it's like, am I, I don't know.
You're still
man.
A fan. You're still a fan. That's good.
I need to be. You got to fight for that though, doing this show sometimes.
Madonna and Other Mothers in the Hood featuring Nicki Jean, produced by DJ Dahi.
Think I like this hook. I don't remember. I think I remember like being kind of.
It's a weird song.
It is a weird song.
I kind of like the beat though. It's weird. Dahi broke out some tricks for this beat.
Shout out to Dahi.
Yeah, he's got what, four tracks on this album altogether. I described him on Twitter as the patron saint of good rappers who need help with their beat selection.
Shoot, we get Dahi on Kairos too, cuz break the bank open.
But no, Madonna. It's a weird beat. It's kind of a weird song, but I think I kind of like it. I was surprised. They released that early, didn't they?
Yeah, Madonna was a leak. Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting choice. I don't know if I would have gone with that one. But hey, what do I know? Adoration of the Magi featuring Crystal Torres, also produced by DJ Dahi.
Reading the concept of this song in particular almost is overwhelming to where I need to like sit down, turn all the lights off in my house, and listen and focus on it. So I still don't have an opinion about this song yet either.
I could do that, but I would need the acapella because this beat and hook really isn't good. The beat's okay. The hook is not what I'd call good at all. So this song's kind of like, to me, like no matter what Lupe does in the song, he's already kind of at a little bit of a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate that he chose. I haven't really gotten deep again, like you. I haven't gotten deep into like the meanings of it, but you know, you kind of need a hook and a good beat. But hey, I've been beating that drum forever. And the last real song on this album is "They Resurrect Over New," featuring Absol and Troy, also produced by DJ Dahi.
Oh, he got a couple Dahi beats. Got that batch package.
Right. When I saw this title, I was terrified.
But
I was,
you know,
like,
what?
I was like, oh no, he didn't do it.
But he did it. But he did it on Food and Liquor too.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh no! Don't tell me this is like, you know, a bad version of when Nas had the Will I Am beat that sampled the same thing as was a Thieves theme. It was like the same
sample.
I was like, oh no! But then you know what? The beat is dope. I like this beat, and I like I like solo on this too.
I like Absol and Lupe. I think they had a record on Soul's album that was all right.
They did. I don't like the hook. I think I said the same thing about the other hook that Troy did. So maybe I just don't like Troy's hooks. But no, Soul, Lupe, Dahi. Like, you know, if you had a better hook, this would be a really, really good song. But as is, it's a good song. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. I'm not, obviously you don't have, you haven't really, you're all, but admittedly, as we've talked about at length in the show, especially this episode, you are like, you want to get into the lyrics.
I want to get into, and I think I'm going to try, honestly, to like really sit with albums this year. I feel like we're going to get a lot of music this year, and I don't want 2015 to be what happened with us in 2013. Where like there was so much music that we really didn't get to sit with it all until it got slow at the beginning of 2014. So I really want to take my time and like do that with all the albums that come out this year. But also Lupe in particular requires your full attention. Like we talked about with Serial on the last episode, like you can't just have Serial in the background. You have to listen to the show because you're going to miss something. Every segment is important. And for me, as a huge Lupe fan, I need to give this album that. And I'm also, but I'll say this to wrap up. As of right now, I'm very, very just pleased with this. Like, I can work with this as a Lupe fan. I can work with this. Food and Liquor 2 was a lot. It was a lot. Lasers Hurt My Feelings. It was a lot. What was the last mixtape he did? It wasn't Friend. Didn't he do something else after Friend of the People? Didn't he do another mixtape?
Oh, I can't even remember.
I feel like he did something else. He did like a little short project or something. And it was just a lot. So this I'm good with. I'm glad. So claps and applause. Clap, clap, bravo to Lupe Fiasco. Because as a Lupe fan, this is what I want to hear. Now, ask me again what I think about this album in like another 2 or 3 weeks.
See, I'm not going to be listening to this album in 2 or 3 weeks. It's just not... Like, Lupe... I mean, the thing is Lupe has always been able to rap. That's not the problem. Lupe's problem has been, can he make songs? And he kind of does that a little bit on this album, but he's also got, you know, 8 minutes and 48 seconds of him rapping.
Like, but I like that stuff.
I hear you. But we all know Lupe can do that. But like, I want to hear him make songs, man. Otherwise, he might as well just make mixtapes. Like, really. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, either embrace your destiny or make songs. You know what I mean? Like, if you think that you're just going to be sitting there rapping all day, like, go rap. Cool. But like, the hooks
I think that's Lupe embracing his destiny.
Then get rid of these awful hooks. This whole album lacks good hooks. And maybe you say that doesn't matter. Okay, cool. The beats on this aren't blowing anybody away. And if you go, oh, okay, that doesn't matter. All right. Then wake me up when we get the Lupe Fiasco acapella album. Like, I mean, really. Like, it matters. I know I sound like a broken record with this stuff. That has always been a problem for Lupe. It is less of a problem for Lupe now than it was, say, on the last album. So that's promising. But it's still not all the way there. So I guess I'll give him credit that it's better, but we know Lupe can do more. I'm just holding him to a high standard.
I feel that.
All right. Anything else you want to say this week?
Nope.
We thought this was going to be 40 minutes.
It always happens.
All right. As always, everybody, thank you for tuning in to this week's Clack Radio Speakers. This is Side B, Side A is on clackradiospeakers.com. You can follow him on Twitter. He is Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. I am Doc _beats, S not a Z. The show is at CRS Podcast, all one word. The website, clackradiospeakers.com. You got anything to plug, man? Anything you want to talk about?
Nah, Epiphany Marcus Graham coming soon. I will I'll let y'all know.
Yeah, no, we're not, no dates.
No, I have a date. I have a
well,
date.
Well,
but no. I get through it.
All right.
It's going to pop. I ain't worried about it. I'm just looking on my, I just turn around. I have Monday Night Raw on mute, and I just look and I just see Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan in the ring. I'm like, really? Really? And Shawn Michaels in like hunting gear. Why do I do this to my, I've been doing this to myself consistently since 1993. That was before then, primetime wrestling since 1991. Why
rap,
am I doing
this? Rap sounds like New York hip hop right now. Like, they just can't let go.
You mean wrestling sounds like New York hip hop?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it totally is. At least the WWE is. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's like, yo, really? Man,
I don't know.
You know, bring it out occasionally for the nostalgia or whatever, but it feels like they're always got somebody old around.
They do. They absolutely do. Meanwhile, all the other promotions are killing them right now. Mm. And they're just like, hey, Ric Flair again. Whatever. All right, I'm done.
All right, see y'all next week.